Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
All the products that are on the shelves are not all the same. Some may even be counterproductive to what you would like them to do. So we're going to sort out the fact and the fallacy in nutritional supplements. My guest is Cheryl Myers. She's a registered nurse. So let's talk about this, Cheryl. Tell us a little bit about what the supplements that we see on, how do we know the good from the bad and what's in them and what's supposed to be in them? And to read those labels can be dizzying.
Well, you've got that right, and that's a fantastic quote, that to read them is indeed dizzying, and everybody wants to have that one thing I can look for, that if that product has the XYZ seal, then I'm absolutely sure that that's the product for me. And unfortunately, there is nothing like that in the supplement industry, and there is everything from just, you know, sawdust in a capsule to things that may be absolutely life-saving. So I think that some of the things people can look for is, number one, a reputable health food store or integrative medical practitioner that can help do some of the pre-sorting for them. Number two, has the product been used in a clinical study? Not borrowed science, but has that particular product or ingredient in the product been used in a clinical study? Because you can say to yourself, I may not know everything there is to know about whether this is the best form, but hopefully those researchers have done their homework and they've looked into it, and they've obtained real results in different types of studies for the very health conditions in which I'm interested. So,
well, for example, Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have their own brands, their own line, plus they carry so many other brands.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at something like melatonin, 5-HTP, any of those sleeping aids. So you're looking at them, we know that those have been studied, right? So if we trust our Whole Foods and we trust that the melatonin's been studied, that's one way to go in and look at the 12 different brands of it that are on the shelves.
Absolutely. That's one way to look at it. And also the quality of the manufacturing because, for example, tomatoes. Tomatoes, are tomatoes good for you? Well, unless you have an allergy or some problems, most people say tomatoes are good for you. But as anyone who has ever bought a tomato in a grocery store knows, there is a huge level of variability amongst tomatoes depending upon season and where they were bought and how they were grown, and we can detect that just with our taste buds. So imagine that in the herbal world. People have to stop thinking in the prescription drug mindset that everything is a certain chemical structure that's easily identifiable and everything is going to be absolutely identical to everything else. And so there is a great deal of variability when you start to look specifically at, like, herbal interventions. A really good example of that is turmeric. Turmeric is a really wonderful, healthy spice that's used in yellow curries in Southeast Asia, mostly in India. Most people have heard of turmeric. It has a vivid color. They even use it as a dye. But turmeric has a compound in it called curcumin, and curcumin has had some absolutely amazing clinical studies on everything from arthritis to depression to cancer prevention and cancer treatment. So it's an amazingly potent compound from this herb, but not all curcumin is created the same. And so when you're out there looking for what curcumin is right for me, you have to know a few things. You need to know that, number one, there are companies selling turmeric that are making curcumin claims, which misleads customers. It's a lot less expensive. They are indeed buying turmeric, but what they don't know is that as little as 2% of that turmeric is actually curcumin. So when you buy 100 milligrams, you're getting 2 or 3 milligrams of curcumin, when the studies have been done on hundreds and hundreds of milligrams. Another thing consumers don't know, that curcumin is hard to absorb. And so they need to look at facilitated absorption. What is really going to get that herb into their bloodstream so that they can replicate the effects that they've been seen in these different types of clinical studies? So I do this all the time. This is my line of work. So I cannot imagine how very confusing it is for the consumer to try to understand all of the things that they need to be looking at. Is it the right herb, the right part of the herb? Is it from a quality company? And are there any barriers for its having a potent effect on my health?
Now, can you eat enough turmeric to make a difference?
You can eat enough turmeric to support your health, but if you're dealing with a disease, you need to go to curcumin. It's like I tell folks when you're talking about taking vitamin C because you have a cold and you want to get over the cold faster and you want to take a couple thousand milligrams of vitamin C. When you go to the health food store, they don't say, here, eat 18 oranges every 2 hours so that you can get the adequate amount of vitamin C, because they know that that would be incredibly problematic. And that's the same thing with turmeric. You have to literally eat buckets of it to get the volume of curcumin that you need to make a difference in some of these different types of diseases.
So what do you think are some of the very best supplements for disease, you know, kind of to boost your immune system? Because so many of the things today that we see, Cheryl, are talking about how we have no more good flora in our intestinal system and that our immune system lies there, and that without these things that we're not able to fight off what we used to fight off, which is why we're seeing more of the autoimmune diseases and MS and rheumatoid type diseases. When our parents used to just say, eat a little dirt.
That may not be such a bad idea. But, you know, I have to come back to curcumin again, and I use that as an example because it is so amazingly potent for so many different things. A lot of people, because of our very bad diets and because of some of the other problems that you listed, have a great deal of chronic inflammation in the body, including in the gut, and that interferes with the proper assimilation and utilization of nutrients. Additionally, when you look at the top 30 causes of death, when you exclude those that are self-inflicted, every single one of them has as a causative factor or as a very strong influencer chronic inflammation. We are awash in a sea of inflammatory triggers. And so that is one of the reasons why we look at herbs like curcumin, that is probably the most potent herbal anti-inflammatory on the planet, in order to help at the very beginnings of everything from Alzheimer's disease to irritable bowel syndrome.
Now, what about probiotics?
Probiotics are absolutely amazing, but you need to make sure that the probiotics are alive and thriving. I always encourage folks to take probiotics with food and to make sure that you're working with a company that has properly identified the strains of the cultures that they're using. Folks need to know that yogurt, unless it's raw yogurt, all of the probiotics that were naturally occurring in the yogurt were destroyed in the pasteurization process, because pasteurization means you heat it to the point of destroying all of the bacteria. And so what do? They inject that bacteria back into the yogurt so that they can make the claim of the live active yogurt cultures. So when you're looking at, some people say, well, isn't it better to eat yogurt than to take probiotics? I say, well, it's a supplement regardless of which one you choose. It's difficult to get naturally occurring probiotics unless you start to go more with some of the fermented foods. Some of those can be quite useful. And probably the best thing people can do for gut health is to dramatically increase their fiber, because the healthy little critters use fiber as their food source, and the bad boys use bad things like white starches, you know, potatoes, white rice, white flour, and sugar feeds some of the bad guys. So if you can start to change your diet in such a way that you are dramatically reducing all of those refined flours and rices and sugars, and increasing the high-fiber foods like the whole grains and the fruits and the vegetables, then you, just without even taking a probiotic, are going to have a tremendous influence on your gut flora.
We only have about a minute left, Cheryl, but speak about a multivitamin a little bit. Because women, you know, we've heard about folic acid, and anyone who ever used to question supplements in any way knows that folic acid is now a staple for a good pregnancy, but we still need it later on in life, especially if you drink wine. Speak about the multivitamins. What should we be looking for in our multi?
Well, one of the things that I am very, very concerned with has to do with the forms of the B vitamins. Now, there's lots of things. We could spend a whole hour and a half talking about all the things you can look for in a multi, but just focusing in on those B vitamins since you bring it up, there are the B vitamins as they occur in food and the B vitamins as they occur in supplements, and those are different than the forms of the B vitamins our body uses. Our body has to take those Bs and twist them and convert them into something else before they can be utilized. People have varying levels of ability to do that transition. And so I really, really strongly encourage folks to get things called bioactive B vitamins. These are B vitamins that have already been converted. They don't require transition in the liver. Regardless of your genetic capabilities, you're still going to benefit from them.
That is such great advice. And remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go to RadioMD.com. Thank you so much, Cheryl Myers. And you can podcast all of our shows. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.